Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
You say, well, that's not me. Well, I'm just preaching to myself then, because it's me. There are just times I don't want to do what I need to do. And the reason why God has blessed me is because I force myself to do what I should do when my flesh doesn't feel like it wants to. You know, the Lazy Boy commercial, have you seen that? What's it say? Something about lazy. Anyway, they're honoring laziness. I'm just concerned they're going to call me and want me to be, you know, a spokesman for that. All of us tend to be lazy sometimes. Or as I said Sunday, we tend to be busy and just not do the right thing. You know, the Bible teaches the story of this prodigal. And Jesus recognized the propensity in all of us. So this story is directed to us. He recognized that all of us can become prodigals. Most of the heroes of the Bible at one time or another were prodigals. They didn't live perfect lives. They made side trips. They failed. They fell. And so they were prodigals at their time. Prodigals from Moses to Elijah. If you study their lives, they were not perfect lives. They were prodigals sometimes. Even Paul identified himself as a prodigal when he talked about wretched man that I am. And so Jesus gave us this sermon for one particular purpose. And Jesus gave us this story to assure each one of us that become prodigals momentarily, weekly, a half a lifetime. No matter how far you stray or how long, Jesus gave us this story that we would recognize there is hope for every one of us. Everyone that has tried and failed. Everyone that has fallen and got back up. Everyone that wandered off the path. Every one of us that have gone through a divorce or filed a bankruptcy or backslid or just quit for a while, just checked out. They're trying to figure out what happened with the Secret Service, the reason why former President Trump was shot in the ear. They're trying to figure out, and they say they think now that somebody just went AWOL. It just wasn't that where he's supposed to be. And we would like to really jump on that person, but many of us go AWOL and sudden there's not really a real quick repercussion from it, and we get by with that. But you know in your heart when you go AWOL, when you're absent as a parent or as a spouse or as a Christian. But God is talking to us. Christ is talking to all of us that have gone AWOL in our life. And he's telling us there is redemption. There is restoration. There's redemption for the prodigal. Because many, if not most, experience the attitude of the prodigal at some time in their life. Some of you are not country music fans, but Johnny Paycheck made $1 million saying, take this job and give it to somebody else. He knew what it was to become prodigal. Johnny was a tough guy. He killed two people in his lifetime. I read the other day that the last 2 years of his life, he got born again and filled with God's Spirit. So, hopefully, Johnny made it. But we all have that spirit sometimes. We just don't want to go to work. All of those things are possible. But it develops into our spiritual life sometimes where we just realize, I don't want to do it. When you look at the sins of the prodigal, he had a wonderful life with his father. His first sin was ingratitude. All of us sometimes just become ungrateful. It takes me looking at other people's lives. That's always been one of my great abilities to motivate myself. Just look around and say, wow, I'm more blessed than they are. I see people in dire straits. I see people trying to get into this country. I see all kinds of things. And I say, well, wait just a minute. Let me count my blessings. Let me name them one by one. And again, I move from being a prodigal to being a praiser. And I say, God, I'm sorry for my ingratitude. He demanded a premature demand of inheritance. I don't know what you're going through now, but the Bible promises you that you've got an inheritance that you haven't thought about, you can't imagine, you can't dream, you can't concoct. What God has planned for you is so awesome, but we'd like to have it all right now. Well, we're not going to get it all now. The Bible said all we're going to get is just the earnest of our inheritance. That means if you're going to get $1 million, you're going to get 10,000 now. And so God has given us the earnest of our inheritance, but the prodigal wanted it all, and he wanted it right now. He abdicated his responsibility to the family. He had a responsibility to his father and whoever else might have been in that family, but he abdicated that. He's a prodigal. He wasted his substance with riotous living, and the Bible said he devoured his living with harlots. He eventually ended his prodigal journey in the pig pens with the hogs, as low as a human can fall. Jesus told this story because he wanted us to see humanity at its worst and say humanity at its worst can be redeemed to salvation at its best. Friend, don't ever give up on yourself. The Bible said the prodigal came to himself. When you come to the place where you recognize I'm not what I need to be, you've got two choices. You can give up on yourself or you can come to yourself. And I'm going to tell you what, my life has been a continual coming to myself. It's not been a perfect journey. It's been a self-assessment and saying, Steve, you got to do better. You got to be more. God's been so good to you. And so God would... told us this story. Christ told us this story to show us that there is a promise to the prodigal. And number one, the promise to the prodigal is, and the Bible actually uses this word, compassion. You know when the father had compassion on the prodigal while he was in the pig pen? God doesn't just love you when you get home. He loves you while you're in the pig pen, and he loves you on the journey all the way back. Compassion. Without condemnation, without shame, without judgment. That's the way the father received the prodigal. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that the devil's number one tool to keep backsliders from coming back to God is embarrassment. Oh, it'd be so embarrassing to go back. I told somebody when they had made a mistake, and they said, I'm just so embarrassed to come back. I said, you're going to be embarrassed for 15 minutes. A lifetime of being blessed with the Lord is worth 15 minutes of embarrassment. I promise you that. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so I'm going to tell you, whoever you are and whatever your state is, remember, God so loved the world. They were not in a beloved position, but he loved the world. And God has compassion for you. And Jesus wanted us to see God as the Father on the front porch of the home place, just yearning for his pig pen son to come back. And he said, I will reward you with compassion if you do. Number two, he said, put the best robe on him. What's the best robe? The best robe is of assigned righteousness. Now, when the Bible said that he put the best robe on him, that tells me that at some point in time, a few moments before, there had been a cleansing. He didn't put that robe on him when he still had the smell of the pigs on him and the stench and the slop and the slime. He was cleansed. And friends, I can tell you, no matter where you are, that God's grace is bigger than your sin. I'm going to tell you, God's forgiveness is bigger than your mistake. And he has the ability to cleanse us to the uttermost. And so the Bible said when you believe on Christ, he assigns you righteousness. That's not a new revelation to me, but it's a revelation that has become stronger day by day. It's not self-righteousness that I should boast in myself, but I boast in Christ. That he was able to take me from the pig pen, and not just once. But Christ is not only the God of second chance, he's the God of 1,000 chance. So why would you go back? The Bible talks about the pig going back to its wallow and the dog going back to its vomit, but yet Christ will redeem you again and again and again. Such love. I don't know how much love you've experienced in your life from your parents or your spouse, but you don't understand love until you understand the love of Almighty God. He is such a forgiving God. And so he gave him the robe of righteousness, the best robe. And friend, it's exciting to me when I realize that I'm not judged by my life or my standards or my performance, but I am judged by what Christ did. And when you look at what Christ did, you're going to say, man, that's awesome. No greater love than he would lay down his life for a friend. But he laid down his life for us while we were yet sinners. And he clothed me in the robe of Christ's righteousness. And that's the way the Father looks at me. And there's no reason why I've got to be in a Pentecostal church. I can't be in an Episcopal church. They won't let me holler for Jesus. I can't go to the Methodist church. They won't let me applaud for God. I got to be in a Holy Spirit-filled church where they'll let me stand up and say, yeah, 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 Jesus. I got to be somewhere where I can shout his name. I got to be somewhere I can get out on the aisle and dance and they won't throw me out. Because you understand, I have an appreciation for the Father's love that just cannot be stopped. And the apostle called it joy unspeakable. Sometimes I can't just say, thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it's unspeakable. Sometimes I got to shout. I don't have any rhythm, but praise God, I can dance anyway. You're in a church, not only can you sing if you're a great singer, praise God, we tolerate you to sing and you can't carry a tune because we know what you're singing about. You're singing about the love of God that welcomed you back from the pig's pen maybe more than once. He's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord, my soul. My soul shall be joyful in God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. That's the reason why I praise God. When I came back from the pig pen, he didn't slap me around and box my jaws and kick my shins. He cleansed me, and he put the best robe of righteousness that he had on me. The ultimate signal that he, the prodigal, had been cleansed was the robe that Christ put on him. Number three, he put a ring on his hand. Put a ring on his hands. I was raised in churches where they taught you couldn't wear a ring. You couldn't wear any jewelry, not even a wedding band. Just no jewelry at all. And I was so glad when I read that verse because it always made him uncomfortable. What about the prodigal? Oh, that's totally different. Oh, it's different, all right. Because that wasn't a normal ring. That was a signet ring. What does that mean? That means the prodigal had already taken all of his inheritance. He was entitled to nothing. He was destined to be poor the rest of his life. But the father put a signet ring on him. Now, that has tremendous import in the Bible. A signet ring was a credit card. You know what I wished? You know, some people give me Twinkies, and I've heard about pastors getting cars. Here's what I want somebody in this congregation. Give me a credit card that you're going to pay every month with no limit on it. Would you do that? I would love that. That would be my favorite gift. I've never heard about anybody even getting that gift, but that's what the ring was. It was the signet ring that anywhere that prodigal boy went, and stamped that ring. It said, my father will pay my bills. Ladies and gentlemen, when you got saved and got born again, heaven became responsible for your bills and whatever your need is. He said, I will supply all of your need, praise God, according to my riches in glory. It's called a signet ring. God's going to take care of you. I'm just amazed that people think that God is going to take care of them when they die, but he's going to ignore them while they live. No, my God, that's going to take care of me. You know, the Bible said Lazarus, when he died, the angels came. When I die, the angels are going to come and be my pallbearers. But in the meanwhile, the Bible said that the angels are errand runners for the heirs of salvation. God is paying my bills, and I've got a ring. I've got a robe. I've got a ring. What a God. And that message is not to two men that died thousands of years ago. It's to the people sitting on the pews. And Jesus wants you to get this message in 2024 in San Antonio, Texas. A credit card with no limit. And next, the Bible said He said, get the fatted calf. Do you understand that that father had been feeding that calf for a while? And every day he'd go out and make sure that calf was fed. Because he said, sooner or later, my prodigal son is coming back and I'm going to be ready for him. There might be somebody watching, maybe somebody in this audience that would identify themselves as prodigal. While you've been out goofing off, while you've been wasting your substance in the pig pen, Jesus has been feeding the calf. And he's making a welcome for you that you're never going to forget, because he is prepared for you to do the right thing. He knows sooner or later you're going to come to yourself. And when the man came to himself and said, what in the world am I doing in the pig pen? He said, the people that work for my father, he said, servants in my father's house have it better than I do. I'm going home. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest sin is not falling. The greatest sin is not getting up. The greatest sin is not going astray. The greatest sin is not correcting yourself and saying, hey, I've come to myself. I'm going back home. I'm going to have a bath and get cleaned up. I'm going to get the best robe. I'm going to get me a credit card. And praise God, I'm going to sit down and devour the fatted calf. Hallelujah. The Father was preparing for a celebration. Do you know that no matter what anybody says about you, the Father is prepared to celebrate you? You have to remember that you're created in his image. Do you think that God wants somebody created in his image living in a pig pen of neglect and filth and doubt and need? No, you are created in the Father's image. You look like God, and God wants to clothe you, and God wants to prepare you, and God wants to take care of you. And no matter what you're doing, God is preparing for a celebration. The Bible said when one sinner comes to God and repents, there is a celebration. There's joy in heaven. I'm going to tell you today that God loves you more than you hate living for God. God's going to turn around. He's going to save you. He's going to keep you. He's going to hold you. He's going to prepare for you. He's going to celebrate you. And he's in this house right now. And somebody, the devil is being said, you need to quit. God is saying, don't you dare. You're going to mess up my party. Because God said, I've got a party that won't be a party unless you're there. The fatted calf was for nobody else. Don't you know that elder son? You know, that's one reason why the prodigal was gone. That elder son was a problem. Man, I'd hate to have a brother like that. Don't you know that elder brother coveted that fatted calf? Said, man, I want that. That has some steak. No, no, no. I'm saving that for something special, for somebody special. There's somebody tonight that doesn't live for Christ in the city of San Antonio. That's the reason why we can't give up. There's somebody in the city of San Antonio that's going to be a champion for God. Tonight they're drunk. Tonight they're high. Tonight they're wasting their living. But Jesus has got a plan for their life. And praise God, we're going to be here to celebrate when they walk through those doors and God reclaims them and says, now I'm ready. Hallelujah. The Father's ultimate joy. The Father's ultimate joy. And the Bible said that he was preparing. He said, put some shoes on him. And when he talks about shoes in the Bible, what's it called? It's called the gospel. The shoes are the gospel, the preparation of the gospel. What he was saying is, this prodigal's past is over, because we're going to talk about his future, because shoes always indicate the future in the Bible. Friend, I don't care how far you've fallen, what mistakes you've made, how many times you've messed up, I'm going to tell you that God is here today. Becky Fender ought to write a song called I Still Have a Future. Because if you're in this room today and you're ready to come to yourself and make mid-course corrections, God has got a future for you that is off the chart. Praise God. Somebody texted me, Sister Reba texted me yesterday and said the best is yet to come. Our best days are ahead of us, and I believe that. For I have been prodigal many times in my thoughts and in my life, but not one time has God given up to me, given up on me. He's called me back, praise God, and I have come back to him time and time again. The key is not that you never fail. The key is that you just keep coming back. Just keep coming back. Just keep coming back and say, I will not quit. I'll get my praise out again. I'll get my song out again. I'll get my testimony out again. I'll get my dance out again. I'll get the word of God out again. I'm going home. I'm not going to live in the pig pen of this world. I'm going to live in the victorious house of the Lord. And David, after he had committed murder and adultery, said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I told you most of the heroes of the Bible were prodigals, and David was certainly a prodigal, but he came back, and he came back to a hero's welcome. There's somebody in this building today that thinks, well, I guess the best days of my life are over. No, they're not. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. You have a glorious future. Something big is about to take place in your life. You are about to overcome the greatest enemy of your life and have the greatest victory you've ever had. Stand on your feet and give God some praise in this house.